Welcome to the Unseen Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Jen Morse, holistic business coach, spiritual mentor, modern mystic, and artist. In this podcast, we explore all things mysticism, creativity, spirituality, and entrepreneurship, bridging the spiritual and the practical. So excited to have you here, and I'll see you in the show. Welcome to the Unseen Magic Podcast. I'm so excited to have Maddie Balsh on with me today. Maddie is an amazing coach, healer, and mystic. She specializes in past life regression and breathwork therapy, which I can attest to. I had a session the other day, which was phenomenal, guys. We'll talk about that more in the podcast. She's based in Queensland, Australia, and we have known each other for some years, and it's such an honor to say that we have really grown our businesses and our practices side by side, and it feels very special to be here with you today. So thank you for being here.
Oh, that, like, first of all, hi, thank you. Thank you for having me. Wow. I don't think I've ever, until you've just said it then, like, kind of realized we actually have known each other for a few years now, and we really have grown personally and professionally together, which is really cool.
Yeah. There, you know, it's coming through right now. My consciousness is, this moment where actually we both, realized that we could, well, not realize, but kind of, or became more public about our channeling or intuitive channeling at the same time. It was like in the beginning of the pandemic, I remember it, and we're just like, well, guys, I think this stuff just really has to come through. And it was so cool to, like, to have a sister in that, you know, and to be like, okay, I'm not alone. This is not the only person this is happening to.
Yeah, totally. I remember, like, because obviously we had been friends, but I remember, like, us both kind of in the group that we were in the coaching group that we were in, but that same session that we had, both kind of like coming out of the channeling closet and being like, okay, it's truly something I had never told anyone except for my partner. And then, yeah, I feel like that's when, like, we really, like, bonded and, like, connected, because we were like, wait, you experienced this too? And, like, what is going on? And, like, yeah, I just, I remember speaking on the phone for a while after that session and just, like, being like, oh my God, so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a fun moment. So tell us, Maddie, a little bit about how you got into this work that you're doing now as a healer, a mystic, and a coach.
Yeah, so, I mean, it goes back a while, but also not that long ago as well. I wasn't someone that was, like, super spiritual as a kid or anything like that. Like, I was always kind of open to spirituality, and, like, my mom used to talk to us about manifesting car parks, and, you know, I would use her pendulum, but, like, I never really came from a background of, like, even religion or spirituality. It was kind of, I would describe us more as, like, atheists than anything. And then I just kind of, like a lot of people, was in a really bad place mentally and looking for something more. And I just kind of had this inkling, like, there has to be something more. And so I read The Universe Has Your Back by Gabby Bernstein. And that kind of, like, opened me up to, like, okay, like, I can work with the universe, and, like, I'm not just alone in this. And really learned to start listening to, like, my intuition. And unfortunately, I didn't have the confidence to actually follow through on those intuitive nudges. And that led me to get really sick. And so even though I had opened that, like, spiritual door, I was very much still afraid and, like, kind of, like, in the space of, like, yeah, that's, like, cool and fun to play around with, but it's actually not going to help me in the real world. I remember a specific moment where my intuitions actually, it was the first time I heard my intuition actually yell no at me. And I did the opposite. I said yes when I should have said no. And a month later, I got sick, and that started off an 8-month bed rest period of illness where I got diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And in healing that Crohn's disease, or believing that I could heal the Crohn's disease, that's what opened me up to this work and to healing and to working with unseen forces, and unseen magic. So yeah, that's like kind of a condensed version of how I got introduced to this work.
Incredible. And you also, do you mind describing who you worked with? Because you worked with some different therapists, right, in your healing process.
Yeah. So in that space of 8 months, I was not working with anyone else other than doctors to try and get me better. And obviously 8 months is a long time to be in and out of hospital and on bed rest. Or actually I would describe it as forceful. Like I was not able to get out of bed. It wasn't just chosen bed rest. But once I kind of opened up and felt like, okay, this isn't actually my story, this is just something I'm experiencing, I worked with a somatic psychologist. Her name was Shana Hughes. She's based in Melbourne. She's still with us. And she was amazing. She was a trained psychologist, but she is actually the person that introduced me to breath work. And we really worked with like how my body was carrying my trauma, which then was resulting in physical manifestations of illness and disease. I also worked with a naturopath. Her name is Deanna Isgro. I hope that I have her last name right. And she's based in Geelong, and she did naturopathy, but also energy work. So as much as my healing was definitely like as a result of me following my intuition and listening to my inner guidance, it was absolutely supported by other professionals too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible. And it's like, it kind of gives you such a knowing, right? When you go through, and it's like, sometimes some of us need like the proof, right? Whatever that might be in the physical realm, like I need the proof to just really pursue this even further. So yeah. I can feel that and hear that and understand it.
Yeah, for sure. And it was very odd for me because I at the time was someone that really struggled with authority and like kind of not rebelling against, but like I thought the doctors know best. The doctors are telling me this. And something so strong within me was like, no, like Crohn's disease is technically incurable, but I have been medication and symptom free for 2.5 years now. I don't treat, nothing in my life is like I have Crohn's disease. But at the time I was like, okay, I can't cure this. Like, but there was just something in me, just like you said, that knowing of like, yes, you can, yes, you can. So yeah, it was helpful to have, at first I didn't have necessarily the proof, but I had the people that were willing to like believe my inner knowing, and that was really supportive.
Ooh, that's, yeah. How important is that? Like, can you speak about that experience a little more about that? Like having someone believe in your inner knowing and support you in that?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I think that is what's so important when you're in any aspect of your life, but especially when you're in this kind of spiritual space, or maybe I know your audience is entrepreneurs as well, like starting your own business, and you're probably going to be living a life like my audience and your audience. I know a lot of people would be living a life that's not quite the norm, and maybe going against the grain a little bit. And so having people be like, you know, if you were to call me, Jen, and say, you know, oh, you know, I actually have decided that I'm not going to do this aspect of my business at all, even though it's making heaps of money and stuff, I'm going to change here. And for me to just be like, fuck yeah, like if that's how you feel, then do it. That's so much mm-hmm. more supportive than if I was to say to you, I get that, Jen, but like, you're making so much money doing this, you know, like just having that person back you, is, yeah, so, so important. And for me at the time, like I said, I was so, so struggling with these professionals who I deemed as like an authority and who knew better than me. It was so hard for me to go against what they were telling me. And I was very lucky I had the support of my family too, although they projected their fears a little bit, like what happens if you go off your medication and things like that. But to have those professionals be like, yeah, okay, we trust you, we know this is what you want, and let's like slowly work towards it. I wouldn't be here without that, like in this reality anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, that's such a big part of your work as well, is helping people tap into their intuition and their inner knowing.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, I think this is really important too when it, like in the coaching industry and things like that. Like, I think it's really important that we teach, I don't know better than you, and you don't know better than me about myself. Like, I really strive in my work to teach you how to tap into that knowing and how to move, because like it's a process as well, right? Like, I'm sure that you've had moments where you've kind of heard that inner knowing and been like, no, like I can't act on that, like because it's too big or too scary or something like that. So teaching people not only to hear that and what that feels like for them, but also then to like slowly trust it more and more and like build that muscle in every aspect of your life, that's going to help you. Every aspect. It's not just the spirituality. It's an invaluable tool.
Yeah, absolutely. Trusting yourself. And I feel like that's a lifelong relationship that you're building, because also intuition comes through in different forms at different points in time in your life. You know, you may receive it in one way for a certain amount of time, and then all of a sudden you're receiving intuition in a new way. So it's like an ever evolving relationship, but knowing and trusting that it is, that it's there, and that your inner knowing and your compass will always be there for you, is like, yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I know you mentioned wanting to talk about my my recent move, and I'm not sure if that feels good now, but I just, that is a story I think that speaks very much to the intuition process.
Yeah.
So Jen mentioned at the start that I am currently based in Queensland, but my whole life I have lived in the state of Victoria, in a place called Geelong, just at the bottom of Victoria in Australia. And I had never lived more than an hour away from my family for 4 months in my life when I was 18, and I couldn't handle it and I moved back. So for basically my whole life, I have lived no further than 10 minutes from my family. And my partner, Paul, and I just got this intuitive nudge. What if we moved to Queensland? It was a lot warmer. We had never been to, so where we're living, we had never visited here before. We basically just kind of picked a place on the map and decided to follow the sun. It felt really good the whole time. The whole process probably took us about 12 months from like that first inkling of like, oh yeah, that could feel good, to actually arriving here with COVID, and we sold our house and things, like there were a few delays, but the whole time it felt right. It felt good. Mm-hmm. It felt scary. I will like really, really ram that home. It felt scary a lot. Especially during COVID and things in Australia, it's been a little hard to to move between states. But like I said, that knowing was there. So we followed it. We trusted it. This is my work. I've been teaching people for 2 years now to trust themselves. So I was practicing what we preached, practicing what I preached. And we got here and I freaked. Am I allowed to swear?
Yep.
I freaked the fuck out. I felt like, I don't want to say I did, but I felt like I went way, way backwards. That first day that we got here to our new home, we both hated it. We both had panic attacks. And immediately, and this is what I think is like important or helpful to hear when it comes to following your intuition or your inner knowing, immediately I thought, you're an idiot. You are an idiot for trusting yourself. Actually, not even you're an idiot for trusting yourself. You're an idiot for thinking your intuition is real. Like,
wow.
I had gone from teaching people this and teaching people to make big life choices to thinking, quit your business, get a normal job, settle down, have a family, which is not on the radar at all, by the way. Settle down, have a family, be normal, and never fucking follow your intuition again. And like, I can see myself sitting on the bedroom floor. Like, our mattress wasn't even set up yet. It was like leaning up against the wall. And I was leaning against this mattress on the floor, just sobbing, thinking, you have ruined your life. You have sold your house. You've moved into a house that's more expensive now, like, which we don't own. So financially, that's like maybe like not the most logical decision. You've done all of this. You've turned your life upside down and you hate it. And I sat with that for 2 weeks. Like I've said to Jen, I went so dark during that time. And most of that was because I felt like I had based my life off following this inner knowing and trusting that and knowing that that wouldn't lead me down the wrong path to feeling like I made it all up and I am absolutely on the wrong path. So I don't feel like that now. I realized through a breathwork session that I did that it was a lot of inner child stuff about change and expansion. Part of the reason why I didn't like this house was it was because it was so big. I actually asked for a bigger house. But my inner child was like, no, like bigger spaces means like less places to hide. If I'm out in the open, I'm really being seen. And so I kind of went through that, that process and in literally a 75-minute breathwork session, let go of it all, changed. Yeah, it completely. And I'm still kind of grappling with letting go of some of those old identities that are in Victoria. But yeah, I think that when you're talking about intuition, it can feel like people on the internet or people in this work are like, yes, follow your intuition. It's the most amazing tool. And I will continue to teach that. But I think it's important to know that even when you're following your intuition, it doesn't negate these like other experiences of growth and of processing trauma too.
Right. Yeah. That's an amazing example. I think it's so, yeah, it doesn't negate like, I guess what we can typically tend to think is that if we follow our intuition, everything is going to be peachy and rainbows and like we're going to be ecstatic with our life, every moment of it. We're never going to feel pain or confusion. But that's not it. Like your intuition will actually lead you to places to make you feel those things sometimes to then heal through it and to grow and to move to the next level of consciousness and expand. So I feel like that's such a great example. And I remember you told me after, like I talked to you before the session and then, you know, I don't know how much later after, but you were like, even the donuts or the breakfast that I'm tasting, it just tastes better. Everything is amazing now.
Yeah. Yeah. it almost didn't even feel real because I was, so for me, I've moved to a place where we literally live across the road from the beach. Like I'm a 1 minute walk from the beach and that's deliberate. Like the beach is my happy place. And I was going to the beach during these 2 weeks, numb. It did nothing for me. There was one time where I saw a whale and I was like, okay, like I know, and the whale looked like it was waving to me. Like, you know, when they like stick up their like kind of fins. And I know the whale wasn't waving to me, but I was like, okay, I know the universe is here. Like, I know this is just resistance. But apart from that, every time I went to the beach, I was just like, I don't even fucking care about this. Like, just send me home. Just send me home. I don't even care about this. And then, yeah, after the session, I was eating a donut and I was like, am I turned on by this? Like, am I turned on by my life? Like, it was just, yeah. And all through one, I mean, obviously breath work, but in that process, acknowledging my inner child, realizing why she was so scared, comforting her, releasing that and working with her to feel safer and to have more fun. She was really asking for fun. And I had moved into a space where I was trying to set up a very serious life. But yeah, like it was such a polarity. But yeah, like I say that the intuition is the telephone to the soul and our soul is here to have a human experience. So it's never going to be like, yeah, just like skipping down this like magical path when you're following your intuition. It is, but it's also painful.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's almost, you know, really the premise of this podcast. Like, what is the unseen? Like, this is unseen. Like, it is magic, but there's also the unseen pieces of this, which can be dark. Like, let's be real. Like, they can be dark, but they're not insurmountable. And they really make us stronger. And they make us able to hold space in a new way, teach and give and serve in a new way, and just have like such a wider perspective or lens on things and relationships and life and business, you know, even. Mm-hmm. I wonder like if you have any like now, like it, like having that new lens kind of put over you or this expanded kind of vision, is there anything that you kind of feel a little more clarity on in terms of anything important in your life? Maybe, yeah, you let me know.
I like kind of giggle at the word clarity because right now I feel like I have so much clarity in one way and absolutely no clarity in the other way. I feel like I don't have the clarity of a plan for my life. But that almost feels like where I found the clarity. Like I came here having all of these expectations. And that, not that my expectations weren't met, but I was almost like boxed in by the expectations. Like, I feel like the clarity that I've found through this process is that like, I'm not meant to live a life that is so structured and like almost like boxed in is the only way that I can describe it. I feel like I have a lot more clarity on how to live my life in the way of like releasing attachment to all my identities. Does that make sense? You can probably hear how I have clarity, but also no clarity.
Yeah, but that's even more juicy. That's like,
yeah,
that's real. Like that's the reality of reality, right? Like that it is a great fucking mystery.
Yeah. And I just realized that, you know, as scary as it is, because I wouldn't even say I'm a recovering control freak because I think I'm still participating in being a control freak. So I am attempting to recover from being like from that control, but control for me gives me the perception that I have some kind of safety. And so in that control, I have tried to, like, you know, I mentioned structure before. I have tried to structure things right down to like the very last detail, so that I understand, so that life makes sense, so that I make sense to other people, to like, so they're not really judging me because, you know, okay, she has this plan, she knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. And I just coming here and moving through all of this, just realized like all of that is only making things harder for me. Yes, mm-hmm. It's terrifying to sit with the unknown. And, you know, planning to an extent, like day by day is kind of important for me because otherwise I can be a bit airy fairy. but realizing that, yeah, like that having, trying to understand the mystery instead of like letting myself flow along with the mystery was only making things a lot harder. So yeah, that clarity, I guess, is just working towards letting myself float along with the mystery as best I can.
Yeah. And that is so beautiful because it really is like the center of most spiritual teachings is the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That and damn like, present
you
moment.
You just did an eye roll, which I love. I'm like, I know, trust me. I am in the same, I have south nodes in Virgo. So I'm actively recovering / participating in controlling things. But
I have a Chiron in Virgo.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that's it. Like it's coming back to the present moment. And I have even like, this is something that kind of wants to come through too, of just like going back to that period of that darkness where I'd been like, don't, why did you follow your intuition? It's not even a thing. You've made it all up. You're an idiot. I every day asked myself to be present. And so even though like now I'm realizing in this moment, as I talk to you, I feel like I was so lost and in this dark place, but also, I think I was a little bit more clear than what I realized because I was still telling myself all of these things, but just reminding myself, be present with this, be present with this, be present with this, like actually letting myself feel the pain, actually letting myself cry, actually letting myself, even though I was, you know, feeling kind of dark and wanting to indulge that, the moments that I did have that were kind of happy, letting myself feel that. And it was such a lesson of coming back to the present moment. And so I think that that is also where that clarity that you asked about has come from too, of like, okay, I don't have to have it all figured out, but there is clarity in the present moment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you just touched on something really important too, which I think anyone with any significant Virgo placements will attest to, is that feeling your feelings is not the most natural thing. So, or, you know, that's not your go-to default response. So have you learned any like specific techniques or tools to allow yourself to sit in that space? Because I know we say this like in the spiritual health and wellness, self-development community, you know, it's like sit with your feelings. It's like, okay, how? What do I do with them? You know, can you give me a little more guidance here?
Yeah.
I'm wondering what you do.
So during that, I think that time is like really, helpful for me to reflect on just because, it's so obvious, like what I was going through now, whereas like, you know, maybe just having a bad day, I can't quite see, I guess I can't quite see like the emotions with as much clarity as what I was going through. So just like referring back to that 2-week period, what really helped me is like actually, so I felt a physical pain as well. Like I felt like I kept saying to my family, I feel like I've broken my own heart moving here. Because I also don't know anyone here apart from my partner, Paul, who I moved with. We don't know anyone else. So I was dealing with loneliness as well. What helped me was actually, like feeling that pain in my chest that I had. So like that heartbreak, that to me was sitting with my hand on my chest a lot of the time, not to sit with my hand on my chest to like make it better or anything, but just to feel it. And like, as I'm talking to you, I'm starting to feel it again. So I'm like, clear, please. But yeah, like actually, kind of locating that in my body was helpful, just because I felt like, and this might sound counterintuitive, but I felt like I could amplify it and actually feel it. Because I think when we're feeling a bit sad or a bit flat, we can know that we're feeling sad, but then just kind of move through the day with that. Like I'm moving through the day and I'm just like having a bit of an off day. But when we actually like locate it in the body, I feel like it is a lot easier to feel it and to be present with it rather than it just be this noise in the background. Because, you know, when you were saying a lot of people tell us to sit with our feelings, but then like how? I would maybe look at like how you're not. So it's easy to be like, I think of myself, okay, I'm like sad, I'm having a bad day, I'm just gonna like sit on the couch and maybe watch Netflix. And that's because I'm having a bad day and I'm letting myself have a bad day because I'm, you know, just sitting around watching Netflix. But in fact, sitting watching Netflix or scrolling on my phone, I'm not feeling my feelings. I'm like wallowing in the mood, which is totally fine, but I'm not actually allowing anything. Like, so I think don't get me wrong, during that 2 weeks I sat on the couch for a lot, but feeling like as I was sitting there, like, okay, this is in my body, like it's okay. I'm not gonna judge it, I'm not gonna make it mean anything, like it's sitting in my body. So that was kind of like, I guess, a little bit more of a practical way, like without going into any like modalities or things like that. I know we've already mentioned breathwork a lot, but breathwork is really powerful to actually let yourself feel it.
Yes.
But I would say that's like, obviously, you know, you're dedicating a little bit more time and things like that to have a breathwork practice.
Right. Yeah, I would love to dive into breath work with you because this is like, you're really passionate about it and you're really an amazing facilitator. And I just recently had also a super transcendent, incredible experience with you holding space and facilitating. So I'd love to know more about like, you know, how this developed. Do you want to give us a little background on what breath work is, how it helps blockages and releasing? Yeah, all of the good stuff.
Yeah. So I guess I'll start with like what breath work is. I was introduced to it. I was introduced to holotropic breath work, which is a specific form of breath work that you have to be trained in by the holotropic breathwork people. The breathwork that I'm trained in is a branch of that, but it isn't specifically holotropic. So that form of breathwork was founded by Stan Grof, and he founded that because psychedelics became illegal, and he was using psychedelics as a way to alter your states of consciousness and work with healing. It wasn't just he wanted to go for a trip, so he created this breath work. It was very intentional. And so there are a lot of different forms of breath work. Like I said, I'm not officially trained by him. I did an integrative energy healing breath work training with Wellness Official, who, if you're listening to this and you're interested in breathwork, was amazing to do the training through. But basically what breathwork is, any form of breathwork, is altering your natural pattern of breath to alter your states of consciousness. So altering your states of consciousness interrupts a lot of emotional patterns that you have. So if you think about like your operating system or your body as like a computer operating system, your emotions as a computer operating system, there's a lot of things running in the background that you've got no idea about. So like you might have a few tabs open that you can see, but you also have some things happening completely unconsciously. And so starting the breath work interrupts those through altering your states of consciousness. So you can absolutely have an intention for going into breath work, but if there's something that wants to come up or something that wants to be released, that can come through too. So it is almost like opening a door that you're not sure really what's behind there. Obviously, your subconscious is not going to give you anything that you can't deal with. And at some points during breath work, it can be quite an emotional experience, but you don't even know why. So it's not like, you know, I've obviously said it can be kind of like opening a door to, and not knowing what's behind there. But it's also not like this terrifying, scary practice either. It just is an intense way of releasing emotions. And it really works with the body too. So obviously, and this is why I'm so passionate about breath work, because it's working with your mind in altering that state of consciousness. It's over oxygenating your body, which is working with your physical body. It's releasing things from your body. The training that I did includes me as a facilitator working with your energy. So energetically, we're clearing things for you as well. And that breath work allows you to move energy through your body too. So it's really working with all aspects of yourself to release and to amplify things too. Like that breath work that I spoke about when I first moved here, I released a lot in that breath work session. But at the end, I also felt immense joy and really had that amplified in my body. So it's a powerful tool for release, but it's also a powerful tool to access your natural state.
Well said. I feel like I feel like it for me, I'm going to speak from my most recent experience with you. Okay. So it was, I think, primarily so beautiful because it bypasses the logical mind and the analytical mind. So it really, like, it is, so, everything is about energetics, right? Like it's all frequency, it's all energetics. And sometimes there are things stuck literally just like either physically or in the energy body, and we don't even we can't understand what it is. So for me, I was feeling like, I think I said to you, very dull, but like there wasn't a real cause. Like I've been trying to figure this out for, you know, weeks and journaling. I'm like, I don't get it. Like, where is this coming from? And it was a beautiful reminder and experience to have that I don't have to figure everything out with my brain. I don't have to figure everything out analytically. I can just follow my intuition. My intuition said, do a breathwork session with Maddie. And I'm like, okay. And then just following the energy as we're going through it, again, being present, being in the present moment, feeling the feelings. And like, I mean, I had a wild experience, like standing up and shaking and like screaming and like I was releasing, and I'm not even sure what I was releasing. I really consciously tried to not ask those questions. And I think it was more effective that way, because I've had other sessions where I'm like really like, you know, half in, half out, trying to like see the whole picture. Where's the inner child that's wounded? Where, what about this like trauma that, you know? And this one, I just didn't. And it felt so good. Like, I was just like,
Yeah, you bring up you bring up a powerful point. And like, as much as we've spoken about, you know, things feeling hard and like that darkness that I experienced, and like breath work, like what witnessing you in that breath work, and like, honestly, it's truly, as a facilitator, seeing you, seeing all my clients, it's the biggest honor of my life, seeing people in that like vulnerable state, but also just like listening to their bodies, listening, whether it's to scream, whether it's to get up and shake, like you said, whether it is just to cry and cry and cry and cry until you can't cry anymore. Like, whether it is to laugh, I've had clients do breath work to laugh. It's just such an honor. But you bring up a powerful point in it. you not needing to understand it. And that is something that breathwork has gifted me, is that one, you don't have, as a person who practices breathwork, but also as a person that helps people transform through all aspects, not just in my breathwork, is that, yeah, there are moments of darkness. Yeah, there's a moments of feeling pain, but also we don't have to go back and relive it all. We can release. You don't, and sometimes when we're trying to understand things, like you said, you're half in, you're half out, you're in this cycle of just constantly reliving, constantly trying to understand, and it's keeping us in the past. Mm-hmm. It's not freeing us. Sometimes, of course, understanding things is helpful, mm-hmm. and bringing awareness to things is so helpful, but knowing that it can be as simple as a 1 hour, 90 minutes, sometimes 3 hour, I've done 3 hour breathworks before, which are intense, but you know, having that moment, that one session, knowing that can be enough to shift something and free you without the mental burden of it. It gets to be easy. It gets to feel good. That is a gift. And it's sometimes hard for the mind to wrap our head around, like, what do you mean? Because it can do, I guess, in some ways, our pain is like, well, no, like I'm here, you know, I deserve to be seen. And it's not that we're not seeing it, but like, we don't have to indulge it anymore. We can release without going around and around in circles trying to understand it. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, it's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing is we are still seeing it in because we're feeling it, right?
Mm. Rather than understanding.
Yeah, it's like a whole other shift in the paradigm, which is so, so powerful. I think there's like, because we're such a cerebral creature and species, like there is definitely a need for us to understand things to get to a certain level. But there are just some things that live inside of us that do not, like you said, they don't need to be ruminated on and understood over mm-hmm. and over and over forever, forever and ever, and just let go.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, because, you know, our pain does want to be seen, but often it's truly seeing it is not through understanding it. It's actually through acknowledging it, through like what I believe a lot of the trauma process is, or why we store trauma in the body, is because it's an emotional process that hasn't been completed. Mm-hmm. If it was completed, it would have moved through like a wave. And that's why, you know, not every single hard experience we've had is stored in our body, because I'm sure, you know, for us, for anyone listening, you've been through something hard in your life, but you haven't created a belief around it. You don't have any pain in your body because of it. It's it's when you think about it, it was hard, but it's like come and gone. And that's probably because that emotional process was completed. But for those times where it hasn't been completed and it is stored in the body, it wants to be felt. It wants that emotional cycle wants to be completed. And breath work is an amazing portal to do that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I remember, oh gosh, when I finally, and it wasn't honestly that long ago, I realized, I was like, oh my God, energy, like, I knew it intellectually for years. Like, yes, trauma is just unresolved energy and emotions that have like locked into place and haven't been fully processed and yada, yada, yada. But it wasn't until I really sat down and figured out a meditative state and practice that I could go into for myself to feel them. And then it was like, I was almost watching them, like, I almost picture them like tadpoles. This is really funny. Like my emotions, like little tadpoles, and they're like swimming around, and I'm just like, okay, like do your laps and like complete your cycle, and then like fly, like turn into a frog and get out of here, you know, like, and allowing for that.
I love that. That's a good visual.
But yeah, totally, totally, totally. You said something too. I want to go back to it real quick, which I thought was very profound and we kind of skipped over it. You said the subconscious won't give you something that you can't deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that a little more?
Yeah. I mean, this is something I wholeheartedly believe it came to me, I guess, through my past life regression training, because I learned a lot about the subconscious then. And so many people can be scared to do something like any kind of hypnosis, but past life regression, because they're scared of what they're going to see. Same with the breath work. And our subconscious obviously stores a lot there, things that we aren't consciously aware of. But if things are coming up for you, like maybe repressed memories or past life memories or whatever it is, the subconscious is there to look after us. And that's why they were repressed to begin with. Because it was too much for us. So if they're starting to come up, my belief is that one, you can handle it, but two, it's helpful to heal for you to experience a bigger expression of yourself. Whether that be through just like freeing yourself from maybe a subconscious belief that wants to come up. It's only giving you things that you're ready to work with. And the reason, I guess, for my logical mind, the reason that I believe that, because sometimes things will come up and I'll be like, I'm not ready for this. Like, are you joking? But the way I reason with that is that these things wouldn't be repressed in me if my subconscious wasn't looking after me. So the same as that it can repress things, when it starts to illuminate things, I have to trust that too.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it is such a huge fear. I think everyone has this fear of like, if I start to go back into these dark places, will I get consumed? Will I spiral out of control? You know, all of these things. And that's such a beautiful concept to rest on.
Mm-hmm.
And belief. And I agree with you. I actually haven't heard it spoken in that way exactly. So I'm really like appreciating the language around that. But yeah, it's funny because ultimately, you know, feelings, when you're allowed to really feel them, like they complete relatively quickly versus like the 20 years that we were avoiding completing them. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. It could be like 10 minutes. It could be like 2 minutes.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I won't go too much into it because we've already spoken about it so much, but that breath work session that I did after I just moved here, the memories that came up, they weren't super traumatic memories, but I guess they were traumatic for my inner child, you know, nothing super crazy or anything like that. But the way she had processed it was very traumatic for her. And that was from when I was 7 years old. Or no, I'm sorry, 4 years old. So I'm 27. So that's 23 years worth of holding something on and having absolutely no idea truly up until, you know, a few months ago. And that breathwork session went for 75 minutes. And that included talking. I wasn't breathing for that entire time. So right. 23 years worth of something stored in my body. And, you know, it wasn't the right time to bring it up before. Yeah. But in this point, at the exact right time that my subconscious mind gave it to me, you know, 75 minutes, okay, cool, it's complete. And I'm aware of it and I still feel it a little bit, but it's not controlling me at all.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Taking the power back. Amazing. Amazing. I'd love to ask you a little bit about your foray into deciding to start your healing practice and to start your coaching business. And like, I know that you mentioned you were sick. So was it right after that, that you were like, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm all in. And just like, tell us a little bit about your process of getting it, of really having the confidence to go for it and stick with it. I mean, you're an extremely successful and talented healer, coach, and mystic. Like, so it didn't not work out for you. So I'd love to, and podcast host, by the way. So yeah, tell us a little bit.
Yeah. So, I love that you said, where did I get the confidence from? Because if I think back to myself that started this business, or even just, well, yeah, actually the person that started this business, I was not confident. I think I was absolutely, I mean, I must have had some kind of confidence in myself, but I met you, Jen, when I was starting my business. The thought behind needing to do something, there were two of them. One, I don't want to just have like a normal job where I'm not contributing or not helping people. I knew I wanted to help people. And I had been at school studying youth work. I thought that I wanted to be in that field. And I was in that field for 1 week. If you remember to the start of this episode, when I said my intuition screamed no. That was taking a youth work job. So it screamed no to take a youth work job. I said yes, because I was like, that's a normal thing to do. And then ended up getting sick. So through my process of healing, I realized that the only way I got better was through listening to myself. And I realized how I was so repressed in my life before I was sick, and so repressed and so just seeking, like, I don't know how else to say that other than seeking approval, seeking validation, seeking more. And through feeling that power I had in healing myself, I couldn't not share that. So I knew I needed to start a business, because I wanted every single person in the world to know that this was possible for them, not to heal a chronic illness if that's not what they wanted, but you know, to start their dream business, to leave the relationship, whatever it was, whatever their inner self was telling them. And so that's really how it started. And the first step was signing up for the course that you and I, that's how we met, through Natalia Benson. I had no plan. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I had done my Reiki 1 certification and that was it. And I'd done that purely because the website mentioned self-healing. And at that point, I was obviously trying to heal. So I did my Reiki 1. And I was like, I borrowed money off my sister to do that course. I had no money because I had been sick and I wasn't working. Mm. And I think it was like the second or third session with Natalia, she asked us what our business was, like what it was that we were going to work on. And I was like, well, fuck, I don't know. And because I'd done my Reiki, I was like, a Reiki business. And here I am. like that, I remember introducing myself and to that group of women that we worked with. Mm-hmm. And we had to say three things. We had to say our name and where we were from. We had to say our sun, moon, and rising, and something else. And I can't remember what the third one was, but I wrote it down. Because I was like, I'm going to forget. I was so nervous. So I say this because I had no confidence and I was so scared. So I'm saying this because if you're listening to this thinking, oh, I think I might want to start something or whatever, but I'm really scared. I'm not confident enough. That's not a reason. Please, please, please start. but yeah, then it just kind of slowly snowballed from there. Before I got sick, interestingly enough, when I was studying youth work, I had the idea to do consult calls over Skype. I didn't even know what Zoom was. Working with people on their spiritual, their mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. Mm. And I had the idea, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't know coaching existed or anything like that. So that's how coaching started to come into it too, because I had that idea years before. And then, yeah, I just have followed my intuition since then. I really had a great experience with breath work. So I thought that's something that I want to add to my practice. I was so fascinated by past lives. I read the book Many Minds, Many Masters by Brian Weiss in literally one day. Like, I carried it everywhere, just reading it. And so then I followed past life regression. Since that course that we did with Natalia, it's really just snowboarded of me following what felt good. And yeah, now I'm here.
Yeah, that's amazing. Also, two things. One, you also are very dedicated. Like let's not bypass that. Like, there's something in you that is very dedicated, and you will do, you know, there's a lot of mystics and there's a lot of healers out there that are very talented, but you also have this component of being savvy and being an entrepreneur and a heart-centered being while you're doing all of this. But you're, you know, like, you do have that commitment to showing up in the ways that, like, the 21st century business person is required to, you know? So yeah, I appreciate that about you and your work deeply. So I don't want to gloss that over.
I think that is important to, like, not just that I'm dedicated, but I've also failed. Like, I am continuing to fail too. Like, and I know, like, you help entrepreneurs with their business. So I think that anyone listening that is maybe thinking like, oh, like, I tried it and it didn't really work. I've tried it a million times and it didn't really work. I just kept going because I loved it and I still keep going. You know, I just launched a mentorship, and which I was super excited about and still super excited about. I didn't sell that out. And that happened, what are we in, October? That happened at the start of this month. In some ways, it was the most successful launch I've ever done. In other ways, I didn't reach my goal. So I wouldn't call it a failure, but I didn't reach the level of success that I wanted to. So I think that's important to mention too. Like, I haven't had that happen and think, oh, well, I'm just going to stop now. I just keep going.
Resilience. And thank you for sharing that, because that's such an important behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see or get to hear about, is like, literally, we are failing all the time. Like, that is, I mean, and there's like some like Michael Jordan quote of how many shots and like how many baskets he had, or, you know what I mean? Some yeah. like cheesy thing like that.
You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Is
that right? There's that. Yeah. And I was thinking, there is like a statistic though of like how many thousands of shots that were missed versus how many shots that were actually made. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's the practice, it's the resilience, it's the passion and the love for doing what you do. Yeah. And I think that's why alignment and soul purpose and like, I mean, it's key. Otherwise, why, you know, you really have to have that driving you, to allow yourself. And it's so humbling to fail, right? It's like such another level of like, okay.
Yeah.
I asked for this spiritual path and here we go.
Yeah. And you know, I would much rather be failing and trying again doing this than doing something that was just like I had to be on autopilot for, you know, like and I also think you mentioned like soul alignment. I think that's why it's important that you're having fun. Like, if I wasn't having fun with my clients, if I wasn't having fun doing things like this, then the failing would be fucking awful. You know, like, I don't think about, I mean, I have obviously reflected, but I'm not stuck up on that launch that I didn't reach my goals in, because I'm working with amazing clients from it. Not as many as what I wanted, but I'm having a lot of fun with them. So I can't, and that launch brought them to me. So I can't ever, even if I try, get too stuck up in that, because I'm having fun. So I think that's important too, when you're, when you're working for yourself, because it can be hard.
Yeah. Quality of your days, right? Quality of the days in your life spent. And yeah, when you really do find that meaningful work, it's like, even if it's hard, even if you have to put in, you know, extra effort, it's like, yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're coming up on an hour. I have a few like staple questions that I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they call them like rapid fire. I'm not going to do rapid fire. That's weird. They're just my magical questions that I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
So as this podcast is really bridging the spiritual, the mystical, and the practical, that's what these questions are based off of. So I'd love to know, what is one of the most magical things that has happened to you? It could be small, it could be big, but something that was like synchronistic, magical, and pivotal for you.
Okay. I mean, I think my healing was magical, but we've already spoken about that, so I'm not going to go into that. The other day I felt it was raining so hard here. It was so windy. It was not a nice day. And I kept hearing like my intuition being like, go to the beach, go to the beach. And I was like, no, like it's an awful day. Anyway, I ended up going to the beach because it was just relentless and I had nothing else to do at the time. And I was sitting there for about 30 minutes and I was having a bit of a flat day. And I was like, why am I here? I didn't know. I was kind of bored. So I was just sitting there and I started to pray about the launch that I just had that I mentioned for that mentorship. And I said, like, I'm opening the energetic doors to quantum play. I'm calling in these women and these are my desires. And I had been sitting there for about half an hour and I'd staring at the water the whole time. And as soon as I said, so it is, a whale jumped up and smashed its tail on the water.
Wow.
It was huge. And as soon as I said, so it is. And I just in that moment felt so connected to everything. And it wasn't a coincidence. And so I lost my mind and I was like, oh my God, like jump again. I need to get you on camera. Hilarious, right? Like I just experienced this moment of magic and I'm like, do it again so I can capture it on camera so I can prove it and tell everyone about it. Anyway, it didn't jump up again. So I sat there for another half an hour, no whale. So I was like, you know what? Thank you for the lesson. Thank you for this magic. I am so grateful. I'm so grateful that you gave me this moment of magic and I'm so grateful that you taught me to be present with it and not capture it. Thank you. I'm going to go. I was speaking to the whale the whole time, right? I'm walking away and I think I'm just going to turn around and see. And I turned around and it fucking jumped again. I had been there for an hour. And honestly, I felt like I had just had my first kiss, like how butterfly-y I was. And so I like ran down to the water. I was like, no, I am getting you on camera. I have to. And you know what? He jumped up one more time and I got you on camera.
Oh my gosh.
So that might not be exactly how you wanted me to answer that question, but that day just felt, you know, my intuition was telling me to go there. Nothing made sense for me to go there. The timing of everything, the connection I felt with the whale and the universe and just being supported, it just felt really, really magic. So that's probably my most recent.
Oh, I love that so much. That's such an enlivening story.
Yeah. Pro tip, talk to the whales because they're just
absolutely. That's amazing. Okay. My next question is, this one's fun. And I feel like you'll have a good answer for this. What is your favorite unseen force to work with?
Yeah. So I channel, which we briefly talked about at the start. So I would say that, I mean, first thing that really comes is intuition because you can't see it. But again, we've talked about that a lot. So I would say, yeah, the beings that I channel, because they are completely unseen, they, I mean, I won't get too much into channeling because that could be a whole nother podcast, but I think a lot of the times when we talk about working with spirits and things like that, they're often like maybe people we know, like maybe family members or things like that. But the beings I channel are definitely like not of this world. They feel like, particularly one group that I'm thinking of, I have never got their name. Like they will never give me their name because they're always like, it doesn't matter. And I'm like, but how do I tell anyone about you? But there, it's almost like this group of energy sitting at this like big long table. And whenever I feel, I like to think of them as my light council, but I don't think they are. But whenever I feel doubtful, in my business, in my life, they help me a lot with my business. The poor things. I'm always like, oh, why did this work out? I would say that because it just really, those beings confirm a lot for me and help me trust myself a lot more, which if I was teaching it to a client, like teaching this to a client, I probably would tell them not to rely too much on external forces to confirm things for them. But often if I'm doubting my intuition, I'll channel and they'll give me some good insight. So I would say, yeah, the beings I channel.
Amazing. And just on a like practical sense, do you, when the messages come through you, is it something like when you're asking them personal questions for yourself, do you speak them out or is it an auditory thing or a visual response that you get?
I speak it out. So I can see them like in my mind's eye, like, but they're not people. They're like energy that I see. But yeah, I speak it out. So often I will record myself asking the question out loud and then answering the question, channeling them through. I do that because one, sometimes I can't always remember. So it's helpful to have the recording. And two, it's just helpful for me to speak it all out loud so I can tell the difference between like Maddie and the channeling. It's spoken word for me.
Yeah. Amazing. Oh gosh. That's so cool. And a little piece of practical, maybe we'll see how you answer this advice. What's the greatest investment that you've made in your business to date? And that could be like, that could be a course, that could be a piece of equipment, that could be a trip that you took that like changed your perspective on everything, you know, it could be any of those, and beyond.
God, this is such a good question and such a hard question because I think of all of the things that I've done, like even just buying, I have at the start of this year bought a new laptop because my other one was so slow and I was so resistant because my old one worked fine but it was so slow. And so I was in kind of this lack mindset and this one is amazing. And it has actually helped my business a lot because I'm not frustrated at the computer all the time. But I won't give a boring answer like that. I mean, you know, not that it's boring. It actually is. If you're resisting upgrading your technology, definitely do it because it's helpful. I have to say that it's Jupiter Club with Natalia Benson. I probably have changed, you know, from like a practical business and like systems point of view, I probably don't use much of what we learned there. Not because it wasn't a fantastic course. I learned so much, but that's where it all started. That's where I met so many of my best friends now. People that, you know, we talked about at the start, having people like in your corner backing you when you're following your inner knowing, that group of women, like life-changing. It gave me the confidence in my business, it gave me the confidence in myself, it gave me a space to share where I didn't have a space to share. That was where it all started for me. And so there might be bigger investments that I've made in terms of learning about my business. Because this was really, I think, when Natalia was just starting to really properly business coach as well. But yeah, that if I hadn't have done that, I don't think I'd have a business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's up on there. That's up at the top of my list too, honestly. It was such a special place in time too. It was like, oh my gosh, none of us knew what was coming. Like it was a year or plus later with the pandemic, and we were still all doing a mastermind after that together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so, you know, so amazing to have other mystical, you know, out there, black sheep, amazing women together doing, everyone's doing something so unique, but still just like, yeah, that enthusiasm and support. And I can't stress enough how important, like that setting is for when you're starting to grow your business. It's like community, having a group, like any kind of community and group that is like committed, you know, and generally you have to pay for this because that's where you're going to get that level of commitment, right? Mm. Like that, if you really want to step into it, it's not like you can depend on your best friend to really be holding you accountable all the time. They're not going to.
Yeah. It's so important to invest in yourself. It's so important.
Yeah. So one last question, what is one piece of magical advice for the audience and one piece of practical advice for the audience?
This is, these questions are so good, Jen. I have thought about this a little bit, and I struggled because I feel like for me, it's all so blended together which sometimes to my detriment. I would say this is like a little left of field to what we've been talking about, but it's what actually comes to my mind. If you're really wanting to like shift who you are and change who you are, whether that be in a business sense, whether it just be like in a kind of self-development kind of way, you can like use your energy. My magical advice would be like your energy is your biggest tool. Like if you're trying to make change, have your energy on board. Like I have been in this mentorship that I spoke about, Quantum Play, really working with timeline jumping and using that as a support to actually changing habits and like changing your identity, changing your external world. So like using things like jumping timelines, working with your energy, those unseen forces, tapping into those are going to be so, so supportive of your growth and of your evolution. And the practical side of that coin is that you can't rely completely on those things. You have to be conscious of each choice you're making, if you get up and you're just like having the same breakfast every single day, you're like, I mean, not that that's a bad thing, but you know, you're just kind of on autopilot moving through life and expecting the energetic side of things to just kick in and change everything for you. It's not going to work. You have to, if you want to be someone that, has more vitality, then maybe you change that breakfast that you've been eating to eating fresher foods. I'm using this as an example because I did a timeline jump that made me have fresher foods. so, you know, like using those unseen forces, but also knowing it requires your practical conscious decision in every single moment to continue and to stabilize and like solidify that change. Same with everything. The magical side, you can follow your intuition, you can work with the energetics, but if you're not putting down that kind of real 3D world foundation, then it's not gonna, it'd be the same if you weren't using your energy. It's gonna feel hard. Yes. So I hope that answers that.
That's a great answer. I love that so much. That's brilliant. thank you so much for being welcome here today. This has been such an amazing conversation, and it's like lighting my heart up. And I'd love for you to tell everyone where they can find you, where they can connect with you, what you're up to, all the good stuff.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for having me, first of all, because I love doing podcast interviews. Second of all, you can find me, my Instagram is probably the place that I am the most, I guess, other than my website. And that my Instagram is just maddie.bolch. Bolch is B-A-U-L-C-H. And my website is maddiebolch.com. So they're the two best places to find me, I guess, and to find my offerings. At the minute, I am only offering like one-on-one sessions. My like longer programs have finished for 2021, but we'll be starting again, obviously, in 2022. And yeah, I have a discount for anyone that's listening as well. Amazing. So I am just checking the code. The code is MAGIC. all in capital letters. It's case sensitive. And that will get you 15% off anything. So I'm not exactly sure the specific date, but I will run it a month after this podcast, just for like people that might not listen immediately. So
perfect. Yeah, that's so awesome. And you should totally take advantage of that. So that includes breathwork sessions, that includes past life regression, anything else?
Yeah, and timeline jumping, which we didn't speak too much about, but
we didn't, yeah, actually,
which is totally fine. Yeah. The conversation went where I wanted to, but yeah, so literally anything on my website will be 15% off. Yeah, yeah,
amazing. Yeah, definitely go work with Maddie. You will not regret one moment of that. She's incredible. Thank you so much, Maddie, for your time today and your presence. And yeah, it's just been such an honor to know you and to grow with you and to be on this planet as the same time as you and doing similar work. And yeah, so thank you. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you for all that you do. And thank you for having me. I'm really excited for this podcast.